ব্যবসায়াত্মকাবোধির একেহা কুরুনন্দনা বহুশাখা হেনন্তঃ বোধায় ব্যবসায়নম। Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A strong faith in Krishna consciousness, that one should be elevated to the highest perfection of life, is called vyavashayatmaka, intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Shraddha shabde vishwas kahe sudrida nischaye, Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruit of activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to the dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material concept of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha, by which one comes to know perfectly that Vasudeva Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. As water on the root of a tree is automatically distributed to the leaves and branches, in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, and so on. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone is satisfied. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi, yayam stuvams tasya yasya sri sandhyam, ande guru sri charanaravindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy three times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically, but practically. When there is no longer chance for sense gratification manifested in fruit of activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. We speak of Krishna consciousness. It is quite simple to understand. It is that process by which we are conscious of Krishna everywhere, in everyone, at all times. Krishna says in Gita, "For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me." What we seek in our life, we will find that. The whole world, in fact the whole creation, is but a mirror of our own consciousness, our own mind. Krishna says in Gita, "Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthithaiva bhajamyaham mama vart manu vartante manusya parata sarvasya." That as you approach me, I reward you accordingly. As you approach me, I reveal myself accordingly. And factually, Krishna is everywhere. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshu arjuna tishtati. He is in the heart of every living being. As the Paramatma, he is in and between every atom. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This whole material nature is his energy. Why we do not see Krishna everywhere? It is not that he is hiding from us. Naham prakasha saravasya yoga maya samavrata. But we do not want to see him. We are not willing to see him. We are not willing to see how everything is meant for his pleasure. If we simply have this conviction, sarva-loka-maheshwaram bhoktaram jagatapasam, that everything is the property of Krishna and everything is meant for his pleasure, then he will reveal himself in everything and in everywhere for you. But if we look for faults in others, we'll see faults in others. If we look for sense gratification through the objects of the senses, we'll only see objects of sense gratification. If we're looking for a chance to serve Krishna, we'll see Krishna everywhere. He will reveal himself. So therefore, Krishna is explaining here, this path is for those who are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. What does it mean, one's aim should be one? The mind, by nature, in its conditioned state, is always searching for pleasure. Anandamayovyashat, it is the nature of the soul to seek pleasure. We can avoid seeking pleasure for a moment. Every living entity is looking for pleasure. Therefore, through the senses, the mind is constantly dragging the intelligence in all directions toward every object of every sense, and especially toward profit, adoration, and distinction, which is subtle sense gratification. But if we're always looking in every situation for an opportunity to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, then our mind is resolute. We are fixed in purpose. Then we are in the path of Krishna consciousness. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining, Vyavashayatma kabu hir eke hakuru nandana. The essence of this verse is to make the order of Guru one's life and soul. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati kutopi. By pleasing Gurudev, Krishna is pleased. Without pleasing Gurudev, whatever you do, you cannot please Krishna. Madbhakta puja vyodhika. Krishna accepts worship through his devotees. The example is given here of watering the root of the tree. Automatically, the whole tree is nourished. In that same verse from the Bhagavatam, it is explained that if you feed food to the belly, automatically every limb of the body is nourished. If you simply give food to the stomach, then your whole body would be nourished. Your hands, your legs, your eyes, your brain, your feet, your lungs, everything. But can you approach your belly directly? Is it possible? You can only get food to your stomach through your mouth. Krishna is the belly. His dear devotees are like the mouth. Unless you offer to them, unless you please them, unless you satisfy them, whatever you do will never reach Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati kutho. So it is this type of determination, this resolute purpose, that is necessary. Krishna consciousness is achieved by the mercy of the Lord only when we want that state of love, when we want that state of service to the Lord through His devotees more than everything and anything else in the world. If there's anything that you consider more important or a priority to Krishna, you'll never see Krishna until you finally realize that Krishna is everything, all in all. Samashita ye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomarari. This means that those who are intelligent people, they make their only goal in life Vaikuntha, the service of the Lord. They never make any goal in life in this world because they know padam padam yadvi padam natesham. This is a place where everything is temporary. There is danger at every step. Even Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, He spoke that if you make your treasure in this world, then your treasure will be eaten by moths, stolen by thieves, and corroded by rust. But if you make your treasure in the kingdom of God, there is no thieves, there is no rust, there is no moths. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So what is our goal? What are we trying to achieve? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a story of one king of the name Prataparudra. And Maharaj Prataparudra, he was the very powerful king of Orissa. No one could defeat him. And he was very, very God conscious. His principal meditation was that the whole kingdom would worship Lord Jagannath very nicely. And by his own example, he was teaching this principle. Now his Guru Maharaj, Sarva Bahuma Bhattacharya, told him, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone for his trip to South India, that this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Bhagavan, he is Krishna, he is the absolute truth. And Maharaj Prataparudra had such faith in the words of his guru that he immediately accepted. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, according to Shastra and according to his own realizations, substantiated that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He is incarnated in this age of Kali Yuga to spread the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name. Prataparudra Maharaj was very anxious to meet him. He said, I must have his darshan. My life has no meaning unless I can surrender to his lotus feet. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I will arrange. So he was waiting for some years in great anticipation. And when he returned, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that I cannot see him. Because in those days, a sannyasi was not allowed to associate with a politician or a king. So the fact that he is a king, I cannot see him. And if you even ask me again, I will have to leave this place. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought this sad news to Maharaj Prataparudra. And Maharaj Prataparudra, he became so much determined. If my being a king is an obstacle, then what is the use of this being a king? What is the use of this palace? What is the use of this wife and family? What is the use of all this gold and this crown and this throne and all of my wealth and all of my power and all of my influence if I'm not pleasing the Lord? Shrameva hi kevalam. Whatever we do, if it's not pleasing the Lord, it's worthless, it's useless. This was his determination. Therefore, he explained, if being king means not getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not receiving his holy darshan and his favor, then I will renounce this kingdom today, and I will take the life of a beggar. And he was dead serious. But he was such a God-conscious king that nobody wanted him to give up his position. But this is called Dhritavrata. Very, very firm determination. And it is this determination that is required for everyone. It is not that we necessarily are required to give up all of our occupational duties, but we have to have this determination. We should be willing to do anything for Krishna. Arjuna, he was a prince. He was as good as a king. And out of natural sentiment and soft-heartedness, he was willing to give up the fight. He did not want to indulge in this war of Kurukshetra. But Krishna is speaking this verse to him. I do not want you to give up your duty. This is your prescribed duty. There's no need to give it up. Perform your duty with firm, complete determination, making my pleasure and my service the only goal. Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kurunandana. And in the end, King Prataparudra did not give up his kingdom. He remained the kingdom. But because of his great determination and his humility, he received the ultimate blessings of the Lord. Two things took place. One is one great devotee, beloved by the Lord, Ramananda Rai. He did a special favor for him. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard, when he tried to approach me directly, I wouldn't see him. But because he has pleased my devotee so dearly, Mahaprabhu decided I must give him all my mercy. And then shortly after that, during the Ratha Yatra, the king, in genuine humility, put on the robe of a street sweeper and swept the road for Lord Jagannath. Just to show the world that I'm not a king, Jagannath is king. He is Parameshwara. He is the supreme king. I am only his obedient, humble servant, the lowliest servant, taking care of this kingdom on his behalf. Whatever our position is, we should always feel ourselves the menial servant of the Lord. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, he so desired that the king continue with this glorious service and he bestowed such mercy that he personally embraced him again and again and again with his own arms and awarded him prema bhakti, pure love, the ultimate goal of life. Determination means willingness to sacrifice. Tomorrow is Ram Navami, the auspicious birthday of Lord Sri Ramchandra. And in the Ramayana of Valmiki Muni, there is a beautiful, beautiful story of the great determination of being willing to sacrifice anything to please the Lord. You all know the story better than me. You've been hearing it from your babyhood. But I will very briefly summarize. When Lord Sri Ramchandra was banished to the forest due to the influence of the evil-minded Kaikeyi, who was poisoned by the propaganda of mantra, lying propaganda is so dangerous. It is so vicious. Do you know that Kaikeyi loved Ram as much as she loved her own Bharat? And Ramchandra loved Kaikeyi as much as he loved his own mother, Kausalya. Kaikeyi was such a advanced, wonderful, loving devotee of Sri Ram. She adored Ram with her entire heart. But Mantra approached her and appeared to be her well-wisher and her friend. And therefore, Kaikeyi put her trust in her. When you put your trust in someone, your heart becomes very soft for that person. Spiritual life is based on love and trust. And when that trust is disturbed, life becomes very difficult, and spiritual progress becomes very difficult. She had complete trust in Ram, but she also had trust in Mantra. And Mantra began to speak to her that tomorrow Ram is going to be coronated. Kaikeyi said, "Yes, that's the most wonderful news in all of history. My beloved Ram will be king. We've been waiting for this day for years." "Huh? You're waiting for this day? Do you know what's going to happen? Ram is envious of your son because he knows that Bharat is better than him. And I know that if he's coronated, he's going to kill your son or he's going to banish him to the forest. And what will your position be? Your husband, Dasarath, has given you two boons. Do you remember long ago on the battlefield?" "Yes, I remember." "Take two boons. Banish Ram to the forest for 14 years and make your son Bharat king." Ram is envious. By hearing this propaganda, her mind became poisoned. Her heart became poisoned. So much so that all of her love and trust in Ram was destroyed. So we must be very beware. We must be very cautious. This is a very, very practical lesson. That if we, with an open heart, submissively hear lying propaganda, useless gossip, vicious rumors about Krishna, about Guru, or about any exalted devotee, our whole mind, even if we have such love and trust to the extent of Kaikeyi, our whole mind will become poisoned, polluted.
Therefore, there is factually no greater enemy to a devotee's life than hearing criticism of the Lord or any Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called it a mad elephant offense. We spend years and years and years and years trying to grow the garden of the flowers of love of God. But if you let an elephant into that garden, a mad elephant, everything is ripped to pieces. So by submissively allowing ourselves to hear lying propaganda about Vaishnavas, criticism about the Lord or his devotees, we are allowing a mad elephant into the heart. We should consider it worse than the plague. Even a disease so dangerous as AIDS. You know how people of the world are so paranoid of AIDS. Recently we spoke at this AIDS conference in the Taj Mahal Hotel, and there were so many hundreds of people just discussing the great fear and paranoia all over the world of this disease called AIDS. People are going through just tremendous extremes to avoid coming near anybody who has AIDS. But AIDS can only kill your body. Your body has to die anyway. But criticism of a great soul will kill your propensity to serve Krishna. So it's worse, more dangerous than AIDS by millions and billions and trillions of times. Never hear such propaganda. Never listen. So, Kaikeyi, such a loving, trusting devotee, turned against Ram. She banished, she went to Dasarath. When he heard this news that he had to send his son away, he fell to the ground unconscious. He couldn't believe his ears. But ultimately, when the news came to Ram, he understood that there was a divine plan. Ultimately, he is the divine plan maker. It was his lila. So he left. And when he left, he cast all of Ayodhya into an abyss of lamentation and sorrow. Merged in separation. So Bharat, who was at his maternal uncle's home, he was called to come back because there was no king. Here we find the glory of a devotee's determination. When Bharat came back, he was playing the part of the servant, the devotee of Sri Rama. When he found out what his mother had done, he was about to kill her. He came at her with his fist and was about to kill her, but then he stopped. Why did he stop? He realized, if I kill this woman, then people will think that Ram is the brother of someone who killed his mother. And it will disturb the reputation of Ram. So therefore, for this reason, I cannot kill her. Otherwise, she should be dead. This was his devotion to Ram. He would do nothing that would displease him. But he rejected her. This is also a great lesson. Whoever it may be, we may not like to hear this philosophy, but this is Ramayana. This is what God is teaching us. Whoever it may be, if anyone is coming between our pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it should be rejected. Bharat said, I reject you, I disown you, you're not my mother anymore. This is the lesson. Rupa Goswami says, accept things favorable for devotion to God and reject anything unfavorable. Kaikeyi was very unfavorable. So she was rejected. And Bharat, he was heartbroken. When he heard that his father had died due to separation from Ram, he fell to the ground unconscious out of love for his father. He was weeping. And then when he heard that Ram was sent to the forest because of him, so that he could be king, his heart was so aggrieved. Can you imagine? When you love someone more dear than your own life, and you are the cause of such trouble and disturbance and difficulty to that person. So Bharat went to Kausalya, Ram's mother, and she was laying over the dead body of Dasarath, weeping with Sumitra, the mother of Lakshman and Shatrughna. And when Kausalya saw Bharat coming, she was so disturbed. Not only was her beloved husband dead, but her life and soul, Sri Ram, was banished to the forest wearing tree bark, matted hair. For 14 years she would never see his face again. When she saw Bharat, she said, congratulations, Bharat. You and your mother are masterminds. Such a super excellent plan you have devised. Now you win. The kingdom is yours. Enjoy it. Live a long life and enjoy it. But I have but one request. Please, take me to the forest wherever my son Ram is, and let me be with him. Let me never see the city of Ayodhya again. You stay here with your mother, Kaikeyi, and you enjoy the palace and all of its opulences. You deserve it. These words, they were like sharpened arrows, just piercing his already severely wounded heart. He practically fell to the ground. He said, my dear mother, I vow before God, I vow in the name of Ram, I vow in the name of all the gods, that I had nothing to do with this. I knew nothing of it. You know how much I love Ram. He is my life, my soul. Please. And then he began to weep. How can you think this of me? How can you doubt and question my love in this way? And when Kausalya heard the sweet and loving words of Bharat, he said, I will go to the forest, I will take this 14 years banishment, and we will bring Ram back and coronate him as king. But please, my mother, don't think this of me. And when Kausalya saw the pitiful face of Bharat, she begged, please forgive me. I have spoken very harshly. I know and I trust your love for Ram. So the Shishtamuni and the other king and the other sadhus, sages, gurus, they decided, Bharat, now you must be coronated. There's no king. He said, I will never take this throne. That is my vow. We will all go to the forest together, and we will somehow convince Ram to come back. And I will take his banishment for 14 years. And if he's not willing to do it, then let the whole city of Ayodhya go to the forest and let Kaikeyi rot in the city of Ayodhya forever. Huh. Everyone was very pleased to hear this.
So they arranged beautiful roads and army, 60,000 chariots, hundreds and thousands of soldiers, tens and thousands of elephants. They all started marching through the forest. They came to the river Ganges. And there was a very dear friend of Ram. His name was Maharaj Guha. He was of the Nishada class. He rendered very menial, humble service to Sri Ram at the time when Ram was on his way to the Dandakaranya forest. So when Guha saw Bharat coming with all of his armies, he was a king also. He was thinking that this Bharat, this rotten, evil, envious man, he's already taken the throne away from Ram. Now he's coming with armies. He's probably coming to kill Ram, so he'll never come back again. So Guha motivated all of his armies, all of his forces, every person, that we're going to fight to death for Ram. If we die for the purpose of protecting Sri Ram, we will go back to Godhead and our life is perfect. And if we can defeat him to protect Sri Ram, our life is perfect. So do not be afraid of death. To please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ramchandra, is more auspicious than life in this world. It is the perfection of life. To give your life to the Lord, die to live. There's a famous saying, if you do not have something in life you're willing to die for, then you have nothing worth living for. If there is not a goal that we're not willing to give our life for and die at any minute for that person, for that goal, then there's nothing in our life worth living for. Our life is empty, superficial, nothing. Die to live. So Guha was in the spirit, die to live. Let us die for Ram, Harivo. So Bharat came. So Bharat Maharaj was thinking, maybe somebody told him, very wise man, that I think that Bharat is coming on a peace mission. You should first find out. So Bharat, Guha came, and he came with nice... Bharat was now in the position of king. He came with all nice gifts for him. And then they spoke. Bharat Maharaj said, can you help me cross over this Ganges and find the ashram of Bharadraj Muni? I have heard my brother has gone there. And Guha Maharaj said, you have to tell me this first. If you're going to do any harm to Ram, if you're considering causing any mischief to Ram or his brother or Mother Sita, then I cannot help you. I'll fight you to the end. And when Bharat heard this, again, here is such a dear, loving servant, doubting him, mistrusting him, feeling he's Ram's enemy. Bharat's heart was just being ripped to pieces, step after step after step. He just started weeping. He told Maharaj Guha, I'm coming to bring Ram back. Don't think this of me. Don't say this of me. He's my life and soul. Maharaj Guha very embraced him very happily. And then Bharat came to Prayag, the confluence of the Jamuna, the Ganga, the Saraswati. And when he approached Prayagraj, there was the ashram of Bharadraj Muni. So Bharadraj Muni came out. He said, what is this? You're coming with all these armies, all this opulence, all this royal paraphernalia.
Why aren't you dissatisfied with your kingdom of Ayodhya? Why are you chasing after Ram all this way to cause him more problems? You already attained the kingdom. You've already kicked him out. Leave him alone and enjoy your kingdom. Again, arrows in his heart. Can you imagine the pain he was enduring? But his determination was never... The more difficulty, the more obstacles, the more his determination became stronger and stronger and stronger. When he explained to Bharadraj Muni his motive, Bharadraj Muni was very pacified, very happy, very satisfied. He offered him all blessings and told him, Ram is at the 20 miles away from here is a beautiful forest. And in that beautiful forest, there is a mountain called Chitrakoot. And he's living at the southern side of that mountain. You should go there. There you will see Ram with his beloved consort Sita and Lakshman. You see, although Bharat is an expansion of Godhead himself, he is playing the role of a devotee in this Leela. And he is showing us how a devotee's determination to please Krishna, he's willing to sacrifice anything. And however many obstacles come, however many pains he has to endure, however much he's misunderstood, he's even criticized and blasphemed by people he loves and trusts. A devotee's determination, his fixed purpose, is never reduced, but it increases. This is the price of Krishna consciousness. Atapumbirdvijastrestas varnasramavibhagashashvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshna. Whatever our occupation, whatever our duty, pleasing Krishna is the goal. That must be our determination. So Bharat, with his armies, they approached the Chitrakoot hill, following the directions of Bharadraj Muni. Lakshman and Ram, they heard the rattling of chariots. So Ram told Lakshman, see, what is happening? So Lakshman went on a mountain and climbed on top of a sal tree, a very high tree. And there he saw armies. He said, Ram, there's armies coming. And now I see the flag of Bharat, that rascal, demon brother, he's coming to kill us. Today I will destroy them all. I will drench the earth with Lakshman's wretched blood. And all of the armies will be destroyed. He said, Lord Ram, you know me, I could destroy the entire creation. I can create a devastation of all planets, and today I'm going to make it so that the Raghu dynasty ceases to exist. And Ram, he said, yes, Lakshman, I know you can destroy. That is correct. But do you think Bharat would be coming to do that to me? He's my most intimate, loving devotee and servant, equal to you in every respect. You know that. If he's coming here, he's coming to beg me to come back to Ayodhya. He said, I know what you want, Lakshman. He said, and I'll prove it to you. When Bharat comes, I'll tell him, you live in the forest with me, give the throne to Lakshman. He'll be very happy. And Lakshman was thinking, no, that's not my motive. I do not want to kill him. I believe you. So then Bharat approached. And when he approached Sri Ram, when he saw him standing, he was standing in an assembly of great sadhus. And Lakshman was beside him, guarding to make sure no dangers. And the most lovely, beautiful Sita, she was sitting by his side. And when Bharat saw this, here was the most precious, gentle Sita, no longer wearing silken robes, with finely perfumed hair. But her hair was matted, and she was wearing the rough, harsh bark of trees around her tender, divine form. And there was Sri Ramchandra, who was fit to sit on the throne of the world, worshipped by all. He had matted hair and was wearing the bark of trees, living on just the raw trees, living on just the raw fruits that fall to the ground in the jungles and the herbs. Bharat's heart was breaking, but at the same time he was overjoyed that he was about to be reunited with his beloved brother again. So Bharat approached Sri Ram and fell down in full prostration, dandavat. And when Ram saw him, he saw Bharat was laying there weeping, and Ramchandraji lifted him up and embraced him. Ram, he said, Bharat, I'm so happy to see you. What brings you to this place? Where is our father, Dasarath? Why has he not come with you? Everyone, I see everyone has come, but where is our father? I miss him so dearly. Bharat, with a choked up voice, had to explain to Ramchandraji that Dasarath had died just a few days, 5 days after you left. When Sumantra, the charioteer, came back and explained to Dasarath how you were living in the forest with the name Ram, 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 he left this world for Vaikuntha. When Sri Ram heard this, he fell to the ground unconscious in bereavement. Now this is something not easy to understand. Krishna says in Gita, Asochyanan vasochyastvam pragyavadam shtavashase gatasum agatasum sa nanu sochati panditaha. Krishna tells Arjuna, you should not lament for the living or the dead. Huh? And here's Krishna, in the form of Ram, lamenting for the dead. What does this mean? You're supposed to, if God cannot practice what he preaches, what to speak of the rest? And Acharya is one who teaches by his example. And Krishna is Jagat Guru, he's the Jagat Acharya. Why is he not preaching by his example? He fell unconscious, and when he came to consciousness, he couldn't come to consciousness. All the people around him were sprinkling water on him and fanning him and trying to, and finally when he came to consciousness, he just cried and cried and wept and wept. Tears were flowing like anything. He couldn't even stand up. He couldn't speak. What is this? It's not a material state of lamentation. This is a spiritual emotion. He was not lamenting out of illusion for the dead body of his father. but he was experiencing the ecstasy of divine separation from his beloved devotee. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada explains in a purport, when the spiritual master dies, when he leaves this world, it is the natural duty for the disciple to weep, to cry, in a helpless and hopeless state of consciousness. But that is not material lamentation. That is spiritual separation. Jayanilo Premadana Acharya Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur, who is one of the greatest Paramhamsas of all Paramhamsas, he is praying that these great Vaishnavas who have left this world, in the absence of them, I'm beating my head against a rock in separation. You see, being a devotee, we do not become hard-hearted. Being a devotee means your heart becomes softer than the softest. And your emotions and your feelings become most sensitive. But the emotions and feelings are not attached to illusion, they are attached to truth. That is the difference. If we're weeping over the illusion, that is Maya. But if we're feeling separation from the truth that is present within that person, from the Krishna that's being revealed through that person, is Krishna consciousness. So Ramchandra fell to the ground, weeping puddles of tears in separation from his father. And he performed the proper rituals in the Mandakini Ganga River, Itrakut. And then Bharat began to speak to him. After they performed the last rites, they rested that night. But Bharat, he could not sleep. He cried all night long. And the next morning, he approached Sri Ram. And he said, Ram, my dear brother, I have come on behalf of all the citizens of Ayodhya, including our Gurudev, Vasishtha Muni. I have come to beg you to return and to be coronated as king. In fact, with the permission of all the elders and all the Brahmins, I have brought all the paraphernalia for the coronation ceremony right here. We'll have it now. Be coronated as king and return to Ayodhya. Ram said, I cannot. I have given my word to my father, I cannot. He was pleading with him. He said that if someone has to take this 14-year banishment, it will be me. You take the throne. I will remain here in the bark of trees with matted hair, eating the roots, living in the jungle. Let this be my kingdom. You go back to Ayodhya. And all the residents of Ayodhya were saying, yes, Ram, you must accept the loving plea of your brother. But Ram would not accept. He said, I have given my word. Father wants you to be king. Now he has left this world. We cannot disgrace the truth of his word at this time. Ram was so noble. On one level, just like Arjuna, Krishna told Arjuna, Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. You declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish, because I will never allow my pure devotee's word to go in vain. Huh? The Supreme Personality of Godhead loves his devotee so much, he will never make his word false. Huh? So this is a spiritual matter. This is the love of Ram for Dasarath. Meanwhile, all the residents of Ayodhya were begging, please, please, come. They were weeping. The only people that didn't want Ram to go back were the demigods. They had their fingers crossed. You know, just like at any tournament, there's the home team and the visiting team, and there's two classes of what do you call it, fans in the audience that are cheering me. So all the residents of Ayodhya were on Bharat's side, but all the demigods were on Ram's side. It was a competition, a very loving competition. Because the demigods, they knew that his whole descent was very primarily to kill Ravan. And this is how we are arranging him to kill Ravan. He must stay in the forest. After Bharat pleaded again and again and again, finally Ram was not budging, so he turned to Vasishtha Muni, the guru, and he said, can you talk to Ram? Vasishtha Muni said, there will be no offense if you go home. Because your father, your mother, and your guru. These are your three authorities in life. But of them, your guru is the highest. Because your mother and father, they're only in charge of the temporary body. But the guru is in charge of your soul. He's the one that takes you back to heaven, to the spiritual world. So I'm saying as your guru, you should go back to Ayodhya. So you don't have to, this nullifies the word of your father. Ah, it's very controversial. What he was saying was true. It was according to all Shastra. But the problem was that Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's independent. Told him that my father, what he has done for me, how loving, how he's just trusted me and put so much faith and nourished me in every aspect of my life, I cannot go against what he has said. I will stay in the forest. This is my love for him. Ah. So then the residents of Ayodhya told Bharat that stop pleading with him. He will not come home. So Bharat, he said, I will not take the throne, Sri Rama. But I have brought all the paraphernalia to coronate you as king. And part of the paraphernalia is I have beautiful golden sandals. I beg that you step into these sandals and allow me to coronate these sandals as the king of Ayodhya. So Ram stepped in the sandals. And Bharat offered his full prostrations to those wood, to those shoes, knowing that they were non-different than Ram himself. And he said, I will worship as the king of Ayodhya. Install these shoes. And Ram said, yes. And I will be back in 14 years. And Bharat said, and for these 14 years, while your shoes are on the throne, I will live in the Nandigram forest, and I will mat my hair, and I will wear tree bark, and I will come, and I will fan your shoes, and I will worship them.
And Bharat did that.
For 14 years, he ate nothing but barley cooked in cow urine. He performed intense austerities. He was willing to sacrifice everything to be loyal and true to Sri Ram, who was his guru. Ram was his lord and his guru. This is the example. What is our determination? What is our faith? How much are we willing to sacrifice? Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We cannot imitate such great personalities. If we try, we will die. But it is our sacred obligation to follow in the footsteps of such great personalities, to capture the spirit of this determination, the spirit of this self-sacrifice, the spirit of this burning desire to please the Lord and to please His representatives. This is Krishna consciousness. You see, we are explaining Ramayana from the Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy. Because every story can be interpreted in different ways. Just like in the Mahabharata, there is the story of Krishna and the Pandavas. And basically what is explained there, the lesson to be learned is Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. How to improve your economic development, your sense gratification, your religiosity, and perhaps achieve liberation. But the same author, Vyasadeva, tells the same story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same stories, from the point of view of learning how to attain pure devotional service, unmotivated, uninterrupted love. So each one of these stories has many, many meanings. But the great acharyas, they extract the essence. Paramhamsa. If there's a whole lake of water and a little milk merged in, the swan has that mystic power of being able to separate only the milk and take that. Therefore it is said, Tad vijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchet. That if you want to understand the essence of Vedas, you have to understand it through an authorized acharya in parampara who's extracting the essence. This was the mission of Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath Das Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you don't go to Vrindavan and you take all the Vedic literatures and extract the essence. Dharma Purojita Kaitavatra Parama Niramat Sananam Satam. Pure devotional service, pure love of God, prema bhakti. Krishna says in Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirvanvo Nitya Shatrishto Niryogakshema Atmavan. That the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. Krishna tells Arjuna, rise above these modes and be transcendental to all of them. Be established in the self. Sarva dharman purityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishami masucha. You abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me, Krishna says. Just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. On the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, Srila Shukadeva Goswami extracts the essence of pure devotional service from this great epic, the Ramayana. Ultimately, this is what it's teaching. But depending on who we hear it from, we will learn a different lesson from every story. Huh?
And this brings us back to what we were speaking at the beginning. Krishna reveals himself as you approach him. Through the scriptures, if you approach the scriptures for something material, some material benediction or boon, then you'll see throughout the scriptures that's the goal. If you want to believe that Bhagavad Gita means work is worship, then every sentence of Bhagavad Gita will prove to you work is worship. Huh? If you want to believe, if you're approaching Bhagavad Gita thinking, I will become God by reading this book, you can find an interpreter and you'll believe that every line is teaching you to be God. Huh? But if you want what the Bhagavad Gita is truly teaching, Ashlasya vapadara thampanashtumama darshanam manama hatam karoti va. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that, my Lord, you can kick me, you can make me broken-hearted by not being present before me, you can embrace me, you have any right to deal with me any way you like. I am your servant unconditionally. If we are approaching the scripture looking for unconditional, unmotivated, loving service, you'll find in every passage that is what's being said. That is the instruction. That is the message. Bhaktya mama bijanati yavan yashasmi tatvata. It is only by pure bhakti that Krishna can be understood as he is. It is only love that binds the Lord. No mystic power, no cultivation of knowledge, no exhibition of ecstatic symptoms. None of these things are in any way attractive to the Lord. Only humility, devotion, and love. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us we should only have one aspiration in this world, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna. That's all. And that aspiration has to be our goal, above and above, beyond everything else of this world. And dhritavrata, that firm, determined vow to follow the order of Guru, to humbly become the servant of the servants of the Vaishnavas, and to be willing to sacrifice anything and everything for that position of servant of the servant of the servant. That is the price of love of God. And Krishna will not accept anything less than that. That is a fact. And we've all come here for that only. We have come here tonight to try to nourish our consciousness with deeper love and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And what will really nourish is by hearing. Prabhupada quotes in this purport that by hearing submissively, putting those teachings into our life with determination, unflinching faith is awakened in our heart. And that faith that Krishna is perfect and complete, and everything he does is perfect and complete. And if I am just a loyal and truthful and honest devotee trying to be a servant of the Vaishnavas, if I am simply taking this position that whatever comes in my life is the perfect arrangement that I should be so grateful to Krishna for giving. That whatever condition Krishna puts us in, with folded palms we should say thank you. Our tendency is we want to blame everyone. If things are not going our way, we want to blame this person. It's his fault. That's why I'm not becoming Krishna conscious.
Or it's her fault. That's why I'm not becoming Krishna conscious. Or it's the weather's fault. Or it's my health's fault. Always want to blame something. But a devotee says, no. It's Krishna's mercy.
Nobody's
fault, it's Krishna's mercy. He is so kindly giving me this situation to purify my consciousness, to increase my determination, and to increase my love. Huh? And if you're looking for Krishna in everything, you'll see Krishna in everything. If you're looking for faults in others when things go wrong, all you'll see is others' faults. The world is a mirror of our own mind. So let us have this determined view of seeing Krishna everywhere, serving Krishna everywhere, and making him and his love our singular goal of life, and be willing to sacrifice whatever is required for that. And whatever you sacrifice, everyone is benefited the highest. Recently, one of our devotees, when he first came to live in our ashram, his uncle was very much aggressively disturbed. Mother and father too. In fact, they ambushed me. They secretly were waiting in a room for me. And I was supposed to give a lecture, and they come into this room for a minute. And then the door closed. And there they were. Why you are doing this to our son? I'm not doing anything. He's doing it. True. He wants to dedicate his life. He wants to follow in the footsteps of Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How can I say no? I'm just telling him to chant Hare Krishna. It's a fact. 90% of our devotees, they are not doing this. He wants to do it. If you can convince him otherwise, Hari Bol. But it's not my duty as a sannyasi to convince him otherwise. And he was aggressively attacking, saying, this is bad, this is nonsense. I just told him, take my word. Just believe me. In the near future, you will be so proud of him. You'll be more proud of him than any person in your life. Not only will you be infinitely proud of him, but you will see how he will liberate you. A couple years later, this person came down with a terrible disease, terminal disease. And he accepted his nephew as his guru. And by the grace of his nephew, he's laying on his bed now, chanting the holy names of God. And when I went to see him a few days ago, he said, now, Krishna is so kind. This man is suffering pain. He said, Krishna is so kind, he's taken everything away from me. All I have left in my life is the contemplation of Krishna's name. And I'm very fortunate. This is the absolute truth of life. A devotee gives his life to God. Everyone is liberated by his influence. In the end, everyone will be most proud and satisfied. That is Krishna consciousness. And this faith, this determination is what is required. Otherwise, there are so many obstacles, so much propaganda to divert our attention. And how is this faith and determination developed? Practically, by associating with people who have that determination. By hearing from them and by learning the process in that association of congregationally chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because factually, the holy name of the Lord in and of itself
Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar is the full opulence of God Himself incarnated through the sound vibration. Cheto Darpana Marajanam Bhava Mahadadvagvinava. And it can cleanse the heart of all of these impurities and reawaken the nature of the soul, which is unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving desire to serve the Lord everywhere, at all times. But in order to chant the holy name properly, we must develop a proper service attitude. And Srila Prabhupada used to tell us to chant 16 rounds every day. And he told us that all of our advancement is based on the chanting of the holy name. So sometimes we would ask, why we're chanting 2 hours and for the next 12 hours we're just doing all other service? One time Prabhupada, we use this example often, I was in New York City, Srila Prabhupada said, all we are doing is chanting, dancing and feasting. That's all we do. So some devotees, you know, they didn't want to accept things blindly, so they asked, but what about we have to go out in the middle of the winter and distribute books and magazines in the freezing cold? And Prabhupada said, no, all we are doing is chanting, dancing, and feasting. But what about we have to follow these regulative principles? It's very good. To give up all nice sex and meat and intoxication and gambling? This is austerity. No. Chanting, dancing, and feasting is all we do. But what about we have to cook so many offers for the deities and we have to deal with all of our god brothers who are always fighting with us? No, all we are doing is chanting, dancing. And then everyone was just completely silent. And Prabhupada looked at the whole congregation of devotees and said, so what are we doing? And they said, only chanting, dancing, and feasting. What can you say? Because factually, everything we do is to prepare our consciousness to properly chant the holy names. It is a fact. Unless we approach the holy name in a humble service attitude, Krishna will not reveal himself through his name. Even if you chant 6,408, 3 lakhs of rounds, if you chant 3 lakhs of names every day for the rest of your life, you'll never see Krishna in his name unless you chant with a proper humble service attitude. Therefore, if you're developing this service attitude by humbly serving the Vaishnavas throughout the day, then when you come to sit and chant, Krishna will be attracted by your chanting. Then the quality of our chanting will attract Krishna's heart. So let this be our firm determination. Let us not allow anything to divert our attention away from this. When we come together, the greatest service is to encourage and inspire one another to take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. And what is the best way we can do that? By our own example, to chant with great enthusiasm and feeling. Because whatever influence we create has a tremendous effect on others' lives. If during the kirtan we are like this, thinking, I'm tired, I'm hungry. He's been speaking too long. First he makes us dance, and in this hot room in April, in Bombay, and then he's talking for so many hours, and we were invited by Sri Dayananda, Mr. Muffetlal, for dinner, and we know what kind of dinners they cook here.
Why is he doing this to us? Huh? So if that's the way you're thinking during kirtan, then everyone's just, your influence is everyone's going to just be thinking about eating. And the longer we keep you waiting, the more you will enjoy prasad. Because absence makes the heart grow fonder. Sambhog and vipralamba. Separation makes the meeting more sweet and delightful. Huh?
But during the kirtan, if we're really, sincerely, honestly, not as a show, not trying to do some fancy dance to make everyone think I am a good dancer. Oh, but with enthusiasm, we are just expressing through our body, through our words, through our mind, we're expressing our calling, our seeking of the shelter of Krishna's name. Ah, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, he raised his arms when he would chant, reaching out for the mercy of Sri Krishna. Like a helpless child reaching out for a mother. That is how we chant the holy name. With enthusiasm and with life. And such a great service that is, because it will allow us others to take shelter of the holy name. So let us glorify Lord Sri Krishna. Let us worship Sri Ramchandra on this eve just before Ram Navami by sincerely crying out the holy names. We'll only do this for 5 minutes. But during this 5 minutes, that's actually, I will make you a, what we call a deal. If you put 2 hours of quality and energy into these 5 minutes, we'll end in 5 minutes. But if you do not, prasad will be served in 2 hours. So everyone, please.